Welcome back to the Prepaid Podcast, the only podcast on the internet dedicated to the prepaid wireless industry. Now, you might have noticed, you might not have, we haven't been around for a couple months. We had things in between here and there, but we're coming back full force this month. We've got two people lined up to talk to you, the first of which is Daniel Neal, CEO of Kajit, the MVNO dedicated to teens and tweens. We are here talking to him about their transition from the physical wireless space to the internet and their sales there. And actually, since I conducted this interview with Daniel, Kajit has announced a partnership with Amazon.com. So they're really making a large transition to the internet, and it seems to be a successful one. So let's get to it. Now, we're here now with Daniel Neal, president and CEO of Kajit, a prepaid wireless service targeted towards tweens, as they say. How you doing, Daniel?
Very well, Joe. Nice to talk with you.
Now, we've talked with you before about various issues regarding the prepaid wireless environment, and since you guys are an MVNO, that's a huge hot topic. What I wanted to talk about first was an item that came up about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, about you guys scaling back your physical retail presence in favor of an online presence. Can you give us a brief introduction into sort of what led to that business decision?
Certainly. We've had and built some great retail relationships, and our retail partners have been wonderful. When we stopped and looked back, though, at the last year or so that we've been out in the market, what we really did was we dove deeply into analyzing the nature of our customers. And what we discovered was that the best customers that we get are customers that we are acquiring through direct marketing and particularly through the web. Now, we believe this is the case because, you know, Kajit's a unique and highly differentiated service. It's a prepaid service, indeed, selling high, you know, full-featured phones for kids. That's, you know, teens and tweens. But what you can do is go on the internet and completely customize it. You can see your activity in near real time. You can exercise parental controls to determine who calls in and who doesn't, and texts in and who doesn't, and which features work, and what time of day, and whether your kid gets an allowance, and how that's apportioned. And you can turn on your GPS phone locator and learn where the phone is or isn't. And there's just a really rich set of capabilities that are on the web. So I think that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, many of our best customers are web-savvy Gen X moms. They have kids in our in the age range that we serve, kids who are the same ages as my kids and other people who work here at Kijit, who range anywhere from 8 to 16, really. But they're very savvy. They know how to organize their lives online. They shop online. They buy online. They manage things. They're really comfortable and used to using internet-based tools. And now that they know they can manage their kids' cell phone service online, really to a fairly well, any which way they want to do it, whether it's the special allowances or blocking calls from bullies at school or making it so only mom and dad can call during school or you know, things of that nature. I think that's really a great thing for us to now understand after having been in the market about a year. And as a result, much of what we're doing is seeking to engage those kinds of customers online, which is where they're living and managing their lives.
Guys, I've read more than one article, and I remember one specifically that was actually criticizing Kajit for scaling back the physical retail presence. They were saying that physical presence is almost vital to the success of any cell phone company. I took particular exception to that as someone who's web savvy. I think, and I want to see if you have a reaction to this, that your brand becomes even stronger when it's more of a web presence, because when people walk into Best Buy, it might be a good outlet to sell the phone, but you're also up there on a wall with Sprint phones and Virgin Mobile phones and Track phones and all sorts of postpaid and prepaid services. So I think by this, scaling to the web more, you guys are really reinforcing your brand to a higher level than you were with a physical retail presence.
I think you have that right, Joe. When you go into a retail store as a customer, you're really overwhelmed with choices and messages. It is truly overwhelming. And even for the big operators to stand out and get their message across, it's very difficult, let alone for a smaller one like us. So in fact, But we do know that parents are out there looking for phones for their kids. And the kinds of parents who make really good Kijiji customers, those who appreciate how we're different and the value we bring, they're looking online. They're searching. They're going to Google and typing in cell phone for kids and things like that. They want to do their research. They like to do their research before they come to the store. Now, the other thing that people have often said about cell phones is, oh, you have to go to the store and touch it, feel it, hold it, and all that. Well, yeah, maybe a few years ago, but I believe that's changing. People used to want to talk to their travel agent in order to manage their travel and get a plane ticket. I grew up where nobody would think of taking a trip without talking to a travel agent. Well, today, I'm a loyal customer of JetBlue and Virgin America, and my wife uses Southwest Airlines, and you know, we don't interact with any of those three airlines but via the web. We only interact through the web. We show up at the gate, get on the plane, but we've never talked to or worked with a person. And you know what? We really appreciate the value fares of those kinds of airlines. And you know, we just happen to use the tool of the web the way those airlines have made it available to us, and it reduces costs, and you can see it in the cost of the plane tickets. And frankly, it allows them to focus on other kinds of service that are really important to their customers, and the same holds true for us. Parents who are shopping for a phone for their kids, first, they're likely getting it as a gift or a reward, a present. There's a rite of passage. The child turns 11 or 12 or 13, what have you, or they're graduating, or they're entering a new grade. You know, there's lots of different points in life a kid reaches where a parent might give them a phone, a holiday. So they're going to take some time to research it, and they're going to, you know, and they all know what a cell phone looks like and feels like. So I think that it's a different day and a much bigger opportunity to do this on the web.
Now, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this or not, but recently Boost Mobile actually opened their first dedicated retail store. Is that something Kijiji would ever consider, or do you think the web is going to be the future of where most of your sales come from?
Well, it's interesting, as Boost is doing that, Helio is closing its. And I do think, of the models out there, notwithstanding what I said about the overwhelming choices that make it hard for consumers, I think if I could bring up Best Buy Mobile, I think Best Buy Mobile has a really good formula, which is, you know, bring the customer in, have some choices, and have more of a consultative sales environment with some value add on cell phones specifically. But I think that's a good formula. But for a single operator to have a single store, I think that, especially if you have a fairly small range of handset choices, I think that that kind of model doesn't work well. And you can see it in Helio. I remember people used to refer to the Helio stores as Apple stores without the people. They were beautiful. They were well designed. They have a great phone, great service. I really admired what they put together. But they couldn't get people in their door. And if you'd go into their retail environment, there was no one there but the salespeople. I don't think we would do that. We think we can get a lot of people into a web store. And by the way, you don't have to pay $4 a gallon for gas to get there.
that is true, and it's a bigger consideration as we're getting along in time and gas prices are going up. Now,
that's right.
I actually, in my daily reading and surfing, yesterday I came across a blog called Frugal Mama in Maryland, and she gave a ringing endorsement to Kijiji. And I noticed at the bottom of her post she mentioned something about a referral code where they would get a $10 credit for each person they referred to sign up. How big has this program grown? Have you seen a level of success where you'd want to start promoting it more?
We're just dipping into that. We really love the realm of moms that get what we're doing, who are like us, who have kids. They want their kids to be mobile connected, but they have concerns about big bills and overages and safety and you know, the appropriateness of content and the ability to manage things with their child and to be in touch with them in their busy life. They're like us, and they're living online. And there are, you know, there's SavvyMommy.com and my good friend over at WhiteTrashMommy.com, and there's all ZenMother.com. And we're just reaching out and beginning to experiment there. But one of my thoughts is, and this is maybe a brash thing to say, but I'll say it, which is, if I'm going to pay some money to acquire a subscriber of the company, a customer, And that customer is a mom and a dad, or just, you know, we focus on moms because they tend to do more of the buying for kids. They're the ones that buy the gear and do the research, frankly, much more than dads, as it happens. But, you know, if there's some money to pay to acquire that subscriber, why wouldn't I want to, you know, pay that acquisition money to support frugalmommy.com in Maryland, right?
True.
Because, you know, she's working hard. She's building her own presence on the web. She has her business goals or communication goals, and I'd like to support that. So we're getting into that. I don't know how big it will be yet. We know that, you know, virtually all of the potential customers for Kijiji are engaged with those kinds of blogs. And just to give you a sense of the size of it, Joe, we believe that our market in the U.S., you know, there's 4 million kids of each age. But when we really look into all the characteristics, the behavioral characteristics of the households in the United States who have a high propensity to appreciate what's different about Kijiji and to value it, and thereby a high propensity to purchase and use the Kijiji service, that's about 7.5 million households in the U.S. You know, about 7% of U.S. households. And I can guarantee you that all those households have an internet connection, and they are online, you know, shopping, purchasing, managing, you know, paying their bills and doing things with the web as a tool that saves them a lot of aggravation and money because they realize how effective it is. And those are the kinds of moms and dads that we want to reach.
Well, it sounds like just another way for you guys to differentiate yourselves and separate yourselves in a time when a lot of you are, you know, a lot of MVNOs like you guys are falling by the wayside. Now, with that, we've seen, and I read this a lot lately, is that the difference in cost between retail and wholesale is just getting so narrow that it's made it almost impossible for a lot of these companies to make their main profits from the minutes themselves. So it seems like this is one way you guys are helping to kind of make up for that difference and bringing different things to the market. What else are you guys doing to make up for that loss of revenue from minutes in order to stay afloat and thrive in an environment of dying MVNOs?
We have brought new services to bear. So we've really brought a whole lot of new bundles into the service that Kijiji offers for voice and for message, but also for messaging. And then, of course, we've added new services. We have new applications and new content and so on, but specifically GPS phone locator. We're the only phone operator in the United States that is prepaid that can give you a GPS phone locator service. You can't get it anywhere else from any other prepaid operator. So if a family wants to have the ability to locate the phone or get a message at a particular time of day as to where the phone is or isn't, and they don't want to sign up for an onerous two-year burdensome contract with a lot of gotchas, and they want the convenience of pay-as-you-go and with no contract, Kijiji is the only choice. I don't know whether that will continue to be true, but we're bringing things like that to market in order to increase our ARPU for the business as well and bring services that people want. Over 54% of the people we surveyed in our market wanted to see a GPS phone locator service. So we put a lot of effort into bringing that to market with our friends at Wave Market and Sprint, and we're happy to do that.
All right, we're just about out of time for this, Daniel. Just one more quick question before we part ways, and I'm not asking if this is going to happen, but is there any chance we see something from Kijiji like we saw with Metro PCS, where you'll be able to bring a CDMA handset to them and you can reflash it and get it on the Kijiji network?
We're going to look at that very closely, because one of the things that's particularly interesting about Kijiji is we put all of our parental controls and rich capabilities in the network. They're not on the handset. So that gives us a lot of flexibility on handsets within the CDMA arena. So, you know, there are a lot of things you could do there that we're evaluating. But having the controls, as it were, and all those value-added features that make us different from everybody else in the network, available through the internet in an easy fashion, you know, that gives us a lot of options, a lot more options on the handsets. I don't know if you saw this, but we just launched our first QWERTY phone, the LG 260 Rumor. And you know, those are, you know, we've launched now about nine, well, maybe 10 phones, I think 10 different phones on Kijiji in just a year. And that, for a tiny company like ours, a small company, to do, I think is pretty credible. And you'll see us become more inventive about that. That's the other thing that being more focused on the web allows us to do. When you are in the retail markets, you have to buy phones in lots of 5, 10, 15, 20, 25,000. So you're really making big bets on single model phones. We have, I won't say which one it is, but we've got a phone for sale today where the first time we went out to sell it, we bought 50 phones. And we said, let's try this one. We bought 50 phones, and sold those, and we bought some more. And that's really a beautiful thing in terms of managing your inventory in this business on the web.
Oh, sounds great, Daniel, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having Kijiji be on your show.
Oh, anytime, and anytime you want to come back, we'll be open for it.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Over the months of the Prepaid Podcast, we've had various guests from various wireless companies come on the show to talk to us about, you know, various wireless issues. We've talked to Yassine from Page Plus. We've talked to Brad Hauser from Cricket. We've talked to Jane Wallace from Virgin Mobile. Now, one company that we're, you know, pretty connected with on the Prepaid Reviews blog level is Boost Mobile. They always have news coming out. They introduce new handsets regularly. They're a huge player in the prepaid wireless space. So finally, after months of convincing them, we finally got one of the representatives, John Votava, to come onto the show and have a little discussion with us about the direction of Boost Mobile and what you can expect from them in the future. We talk a little bit about the i335 and the i776, two of their higher-end handsets, and among other things. So here's John, let's have a listen. I'm here now with John Votava from Boost Mobile. How are you doing this afternoon, John?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So there's been a lot of news in the past week, a lot of places covered, that Boost Mobile has a new plan out now on their pay-as-you-go section. It's 10 cents a minute, all day, every day, no exceptions, no nights and weekends, nothing else to figure out, just 10 cents. Do you want to give us some insight into why Boost Mobile chose to take this path for prepaid?
That one of the main features of Boost Mobile is that we offer choice and flexibility to our customers, and that is in allowing our customers to pay by the minute, the day, or the month. And so in offering this 10 cent a minute rate cut, which was previously 20 cents a minute, we felt like, you know, it frees up our customers with as much flexibility and value as possible to go out and make calls any time of day and not have to worry too much about, you know, how much they're spending on their per minute calls, because now they know it's at a low flat rate for any time they make a call. If they're on straight paygo, that's one of their mindsets they could have. We also offer per day, we have a dollar a day chat plan where for a dollar a day, customers will get that 10 cent rate for their daytime calls, but then they also get unlimited nights and weekends, they get unlimited mobile to mobile, and they also get unlimited text messaging. Then we also offer the per minute plan where customers can pay $50 a month for unlimited voice service, and then they can add on various services to add on unlimited text messaging and unlimited web as well.
Regarding the unlimited plans, I actually wanted to talk about this too. I haven't seen a lot of promotion for Boost Unlimited, and I actually haven't read about it in a while. How many markets is that available in now? Is that available over, you know, all of Sprint's network, or is that still only available in select markets?
We are in select markets currently. There are about 19 markets that are currently selling Boost Unlimited or Unlimited by Boost, and we have those targeted markets. And what we're doing, what you'll see also is on the PayGo network. That is a nationwide service offering. And what we're doing is on the PayGo network, we're focusing solely on the iDEN network, which right now is, you know, at its peak performance ever. There's capacity on the network. There is availability. And it's a quality network. It's at its best levels ever for dropped and blocked calls. So, you know, we are focusing on that network predominantly. We do offer the unlimited program on the CDMA network, the Sprint CDMA network. And, you know, at some point in time, we will be focusing 100% on the IDEN network.
Really? Now, is there any way, I know we've seen Sprint's and AT&T's and Verizon's, all their different networks, even though AT&T is on GSM, we've all seen them upgrade to a 3G offering over the past couple of years. Is there any plans or is there any way even to upgrade the IDEN to more of a 3G speed network to help with data speeds?
No, and, you know, that's something that we were actually heading down that path. And, you know, the prepaid market is primed for growth right now. And Boost took a deep look at itself and decided, you know, hey, we need to make some changes here so that we can capitalize on opportunities that are forming within the prepaid market. Now, in doing so, we brought on new leadership team. We have Matt Carter, who is our new president. We have Jeff Allman, who is our new VP of Sales and Distribution. We also have Neil Lindsay, who was our Vice President of Product Development and has also assumed the marketing and branding aspects of the business. So he is now our VP of Marketing. And we have Kelly Owen St. Julian, who is overseeing our customer management and churn initiatives. So this team got together and had to take a hard look at where we're going in the industry. And, you know, they came to the conclusion that, A, we're either targeting the right market with the wrong product, or we're targeting the wrong market with the right product. And we came to the conclusion that, you know, we offer value and simplicity, handsets, calling options, and a great quality network as well. And we thought, well, we do have something pretty special here. And so we decided that it was beneficial for us to move forward and target a broader audience than what we had been targeting before. And going after these folks with a, you know, a simple value message that it's very simple and straightforward, and it's for the voice-centric customer, so they can just make a simple call. And I don't know if you've seen the Sex and the City movie or not.
No, but, I can't say that I have.
Yeah. I was told by one of my coworkers that there's a scene in the movie where Carrie is standing at the altar, and she's trying to get in touch with somebody real quick, and she says, somebody, please, quick, hand me a phone. And somebody hands her an iPhone, and she hands it back. She says, no, 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 give me a phone I can use. And so somebody hands her a Sprint clamshell phone, and she's able to dial up and make her call. And so that's kind of the audience that we're looking at right now, is this voice-centric customer that just wants to connect via voice or connect via walkie-talkie or send a text message. This is a group that we think is out there and really in need of our services, and so we, you know, we're going to go out and bring our message to these folks.
Now, when you're in the marketing world, you always hear that targeting a niche is more efficient than targeting everyone, because usually when you try to please everyone, you end up pleasing no one. Now, it seems that Boost has kind of taken the targeting everyone stance with the new plan, but would you say it's more of the chat plan is more targeting the younger audience that Boost has always tried to go after, and this new plan is kind of a different niche offering towards a different niche, the older, more simplistic audience?
Well, it's both. You know, we want to target everybody, of course, but we just feel like, you know, the time was right for these changes, and especially with the economic climate that we find ourselves in, by no means are we sitting around, you know, rubbing our hands with glee over this, but, you know, there are real opportunities where people are looking to stretch their dollar as far as they can and to get as much value as they can, and wireless services is not something that a lot of people are willing to give up. So if we can offer them as much choice and flexibility in offering them for these prepaid plans, then I really think you're going to see a lot of uptick in the prepaid space, and there's just a lot of need out there right now, and we just want to be that straight-talking wireless company with straightforward value offers that people choose.
All right, and we can move on to a couple handset questions now. I know you guys have put out a number of handsets in the past. Can you give us any idea if you guys plan to put out any more in the next couple of months?
Oh, of course, yes. We just launched the i776 device last week on October 6th, And we are moving forward with some other real strong, solid, dependable devices from the Motorola division. And, you know, they've been a tremendous backer of the iDEN network and providing us with these quality handsets. And I think you'll see that there will be another phone launched here in fourth quarter, and then we've got some real exciting stuff coming in early 2009. So can't say too much about that, but, you know, stay tuned. It's going to be some fun stuff.
All right, so one of my favorite new handsets from Boost is the Motorola i335, the military-grade durability handset. Do you guys see using this kind of casing on more phones in the future, or rather, do you think Motorola plans to use it more in the future?
I'm sorry, can you elaborate on that question?
Well, it's a pretty innovative casing. I've been playing around with it a little bit, and yeah, the thing, I mean, it's lightweight, and it looks like it can take a beating. Do you think this is more of an indication of the future of mobile casing, or it's just a one-off model that's that has some appeal?
I don't know if it's the norm. Now, that's the type of device that Motorola has typically built for the Sprint Nextel network, and so we were fortunate enough to get some of those phones to offer to Boost customers. Now, I mean, that is a very durable phone, and you could practically drop it off a second story out of a second story window, or flush the thing, or run over it with a truck. Although none of those are under warranty, by the way. and so it just goes to show that, you know, we build a very quality handset with the help of Motorola, and that's something that, you know, can help our customers if, you know, with a prepaid plan. You know, that way, if their phone breaks or something happens to it, then, you know, it could survive a little bit longer than a typical cell phone would. And that would help them with having to, you know, either go through the returns process or repair process, or even having to, you know, throw it away and go buy another one. It just means that it's that much more durable and that much more long-lasting.
All right, John, two more questions. What is your personal favorite out of the Boost Mobile handset lineup?
Oh, I'm old school, so I'm talking to you today on an i885.
Oh, wow.
And, this is one of the phones that we launched roughly coming up on about 2 years ago, and just shows you more how quality this phone is. It still works. I've had no problems with this phone. It's durable. It's taken a beating. It's a little scuffed up, but, you know, that's expected wear and tear. But, you know, this phone has a 2-megapixel camera, has a music player on it, and it's just very solid. And, you know, I'm having trouble giving it up. Even when we keep launching these new phones, I'm old school. I'm sticking with the i885.
All right. And finally, since we are talking to our listeners here, if someone was looking for a new prepaid plan and was considering Boost Mobile, what's the one thing you would tell them to try to convince them to go with Boost?
Sure. I'd like to tell them that if you're looking to save some money, prepaid may be an option for you. And, you know, we offer value to our customers in that we offer, you know, flexible, easy-to-understand calling options and payment options. We offer a quality nationwide network, something that you may get for a cheaper price on another carrier, but you're not going to get that quality network. So that is something that I would recommend them to be on the lookout for. And then I'd also say that we offer durable, dependable handsets from Motorola. And, you know, if you wrap that all up, it's a value message, but it's also a value plus, because Boost has really worked hard to build a brand for itself. And I think we've accomplished that. But when we offer this value on top of it, that makes us value plus, in that this is something that gives you the value that you need, but it is also something that you're proud to wear as a badge. And that would be the Boost brand in general.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, John.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
Once again, we're talking to John Vatava from Boost Mobile. And that about wraps things up for December's edition of the Prepaid Podcast. Thank you to Daniel, and thank you to John for coming on the show and being kind enough to talk to us. And we'll come back at you guys about the same time next month. Until then.